And welcome back to the program. It is a great honor and pleasure to be speaking with Senator John Kerry, one of my personal heroes. I always liked his work. But when he and John McCain back in March of 2002 took the bold move to say, we ought to make American cars that are at least as fuel efficient as the Japanese cars. This is not business as usual. In the wake of 9/11, clearly that had something to do with our addiction of oil. They came out and said we must act. And when that went down to defeat, clearly because of special interests weighing out over public interests, a group of us moms got angry and started Don't Be Fueled. And I'm so pleased to see you hanging on to what's really important, and that is getting, you know, our energy policy in the right direction. And of course, now we know a lot more about climate change and how serious that is. So we're thrilled to see you writing this book. It is called This Moment on Earth, along with Teresa Hines Kerry, John Kerry's wife, of course. They are doing a tour to promote why this moment is so critical. At the back of the book, you have an appendix and you have a section called Keeping America's Promise. Where do we go from here?
We have to go to alternative and renewable fuels. We have to put energy efficiency in place, and we have to develop clean coal technology. Those are the three biggies of dealing with climate change. There are other little things people can do here and there, and they're all important. But we've got to develop a federal policy that makes these things happen. That is the most important thing. Energy efficiency are things you can do right now to change your habits, to put more effective heating in your home, more effective windows, more effective lighting. Change light bulbs. Just take the three light bulbs that you burn the most and make sure they're not the old incandescent ones. Get fluorescent new lighting, and you will save, over the lifetime of that bulb, half a ton of carbon dioxide. So there are lots of things that people can do. We've written them in the book. We've laid out a roadmap. Some of them seem like tidbits, and they're small, but everything adds up. And there are all kinds of ways that individuals can contribute to this. But the biggie, the federal government has got to step in. It's got to create incentives for the marketplace to begin to do different things. And what's exciting, and we write about it in the book, is that individual corporations are now understanding this. Texas Instruments, for instance, redesigned a plant down in Texas so they didn't have to move to China. And they're saving millions of dollars every year because of the redesign. So it's good business. We wrote an article in today's San Francisco Chronicle about how this is good business. And I think people will begin to change.
And you also noticed that San Francisco had some landmark legislation to ban the plastic bag. I'm glad that got your attention, because those little things do add up.
Oh, those are terrific things. I met a guy the other day in Portland. We did an event there. And he stood up in front of this crowd and he said, you know, I now go to the market and I have my own bag that I take every time and I fill up my own bag. So he doesn't use the paper bags anymore. So you don't have to cut down as many trees. All of these things add up.
Absolutely. I have to ask you what you think about ethanol.
Ethanol is part of the solution. It's not going to be the savior that everybody thinks. And you have to be very careful with what kind of ethanol we're going to be doing, because the corn-based ethanol, there's a rush now to grow a lot of corn. It could have several negative impacts. First of all, it uses a lot more water. Secondly, it uses a lot more land that might otherwise be used to feed people. And the question is going to be, is it going to go to fuel or go to food? And will it therefore make food more expensive because it's competing with it? And finally, it requires a tillage of the soil and, all of the pesticides and other things that get used. So what we need to do is look for cellulosic ethanol, which is ethanol that's made from the fiber of certain kinds of stalks and grass. Prairie grass, for instance, could be used. And the benefit of that is you can just cut it without having to sort of farm it. You don't need to to till the soil. You don't need to grow it. It grows naturally. And you use that fiber. But we're not yet there in terms of the enzyme, the process by which you can break it down and create the ethanol yet. But if we can get there, that could be a better option than just moving whole hog. And the other thing is, people need to realize, if we used every available space that there is to grow corn-based and grain-based ethanol, we still will not be able to make an enormous enough dent in what we need to do to deal with global climate change. The key is getting the carbon out of the atmosphere itself, and that's going to require coal sequestration and capture, and it's going to require even other fuels that we may not even know about today.
Some other landmarks. San Francisco also passed some landmark legislation invoking the precautionary principle. Do you think that plays a role?
Very much so. The precautionary principle is a everybody should live by the precautionary principle. Most people do. You go to the doctor, and the doctor says, look, if you eat this kind of fatty food or whatever, you got a greater chance of heart attack. Most reasonable people begin to try to take some steps to prevent that. Likewise, in life itself, when you have science telling you that certain things are bad and have an impact that's potentially disastrous, the precautionary principle says you take steps to avoid it. Most societies try to live by those principles, and we need to also.
Of course, you have other things to have been frustrated about. You and Al Gore have that in common, too.
Well, they are frustrating, sure, about votes being counted and other kinds of things. But on the other hand, this is worth fighting for, and I can't think of anything that speaks to common sense more than this. But what really is frustrating is the myopia of some business leaders who just don't take a hard look at this and realize this is good for business. Their shareholders will be happier. This is going to be the marketing of the future.
So as you say, it's time to do away once and for all with the myth that fixing the environment is bad for the economy.
Yeah, and not just that. People need to see the upside that is good for our national security. It's good for your health. It's good for the economy. And it's certainly living up to our moral responsibility to do a better job for the future.
It's an opportunity. Thank you for all your great work, John Kerry, and for this book. We will promote it widely on EcoTalk.
It's called
This Moment on Earth, and it's written with his wife, Teresa Heinz Kerry, also an environmentalist. We'll be back right after the news break.